Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Tony and Randy as they talk with entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Biz Talk. We're glad you joined us this morning. My name is Tony Bush in the studio with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony. Looks like we had a gorgeous day if they just turned the temperature up a little bit.
Yep, about time. Winds died down a little bit.
Yeah.
We have a great show for you this morning. Every weekend, Biz Talk is brought to you by the Fox City Score Chapter located in Appleton. And SCORE is a nonprofit organization. We provide you with free confidential mentoring for your business. We're going to tell you more about our SCORE chapter during the show. And if you have a question for our guest, you can call us at 281-1150, 281-1150 in Appleton this morning. Our guest this morning is Chris Allen. Chris is the Vice President of Business Services at Fox Communities Credit Union. And I also want to point out that Fox Communities has been a regular sponsor of BizTalk, so we really appreciate the support of Fox Communities. Well, good morning, Chris. Tell us a little bit about yourself and Fox.
Good morning, guys. A pleasure to be with you. Like Tony said, I'm Chris Allen, Vice President of Business Services, which means I head up pretty much all of our business services, commercial lending, depository, cash management, credit cards, pretty much anything that's available for our member businesses at Fox Communities Credit Union, and we do an excellent job of it. We've got 19 locations pretty much in northeast Wisconsin, from Green Bay down to Oshkosh and then over to Lake Michigan. We've got about 19 locations. Pretty large, about $1.3 billion in assets, and probably one of the larger commercial loan portfolios in the area for the most part.
How big is that portfolio, Chris?
Give or take, just a hair under $300 million.
Yeah, that's
dollars
good.
And
yeah.
About 3,500 member businesses.
And how many loan officers, MBL loan business lending officers, do you have working for you?
We've got five commercial loan officers right now spread throughout Green Bay and Appleton, but then also our 30 mortgage and consumer loan officers have access to commercial products.
Bingo.
Because we really spent a lot of time this year rounding out our business services department. We got some really wonderful people that work there that support pretty much everybody at all of our branches. If anybody walks in has a question, we can generally get those answered in relatively quick fashion, and or set them in touch with one of the commercial lending experts that we have.
And Chris, your background, how long have you been in this business?
I've been in the business since 1999. Essentially straight out of school. I started as a credit analyst doing SBA loans, SBA 504 loans. So I cut my teeth on some of the most raw entrepreneurial lending that there is with SBA loans. Went over to the dark side of banking and came over to the light side of credit unions a few years after that.
Okay.
And have just been enjoying. I enjoy working with entrepreneurs quite a bit. I'm an entrepreneur at spirit, but not I don't have the stomach for
not
it.
Yet.
So
not
I like yeah. You got to be a special breed to be an entrepreneur to take those risks.
Step off the cliff.
And I appreciate helping people, probably not helping people step off the cliff, but but definitely like helping people with their entrepreneurial
spirit. It's
really
important you have that attitude toward entrepreneurs because they're a special breed. They have special problems. They don't always have all the resources to solve their issues.
Yeah.
And I think it's also very important, and I compliment you on having gone through credit training in your lending career. Too many lenders get into business lending, and they don't go through the credit training to really understand what's behind the numbers. With that experience, though, you become so much more valuable to the business owner because you're walking them through those numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. So you help them with the numbers. But then I grew up in an entrepreneurial household. My dad owned a couple of small businesses with mixed success, so I saw the good and the bad associated with it. So I come at it from a number of different aspects, both from the lending, the numbers, the nuts and bolts of it, but then also the personal side, what it takes to be an entrepreneur and what impact it has,
Your experience has been here in the Valley?
Yeah, pretty much exclusively. I was down in Milwaukee for a while, helping people down there with SBA loans. But then from the Valley, Appleton West.
Okay.
So how's the business environment in the Valley, Chris, wherever Fox is located throughout Wisconsin?
Yeah.
How is the environment? Is it, you hear a lot of things about picking up, it's more positive, it's... What's going on?
Yeah, right now it's extraordinarily positive out there. We're seeing a lot of good things. The economy's humming along from a small business standpoint. To be honest, probably the biggest problem we're seeing out there is finding talent to help small businesses meet their needs, employees, which is a sign of a robust economy. But all the numbers that we're seeing, especially coming out of the Great Recession a few years back, we now have 2, 3, 4 years of really solid numbers out of pretty much every. I can't think of too many people that are really struggling, as a result of anything other than, specific issues.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions everybody gets to, of course, is what do you see as far as rates right now? There's the Fed is doing some short-term raising and so on. How is that affecting things here?
Yeah, rates are definitely on the rise. Basically, since Trump got elected in November, we've seen rates rise almost a full percentage point, maybe just a hair less than that for longer-term fixed rates. Mm-hmm. The short-term rates, we're anticipating the Fed to make 2 or 3 moves, which will be roughly 50 basis points or 0.5% to 0.75% or 75 basis points.
That's
what we're anticipating at this point, especially if the economy keeps humming along. And that's good and bad. It's a good thing because it's a sign of a strong economy, and rising tide lifts all boats. But it is definitely something that small business owners should plan for because their cost of borrowing is going to go up. Their cost of capital is going to start going up.
What about the person who's been kind of sitting on the fence? Should I start? Should I get in? Should I stay out? What's your advice at this point?
My advice from a rate standpoint, and that depends a little bit on what industry you're in. If you have money and you're looking to buy into real estate, for example, do it now.
Okay.
Now would probably be a good time generally because things are going really well and rates are going to rise. So usually those are longer-term fixed rates. If you're more on the operational business type side, starting a business, to be frank, the rates shouldn't matter to you. You should be able to plan around that. You should be able to adjust your business plan around that. If a low rate environment is a requirement for you getting into business, you probably shouldn't get into that business because it's not going to be a low rate environment for long.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of interest rates, when lenders look at an opportunity to make a loan to a business owner, they're assessing the risk of not being repaid. So the better prepared the business owner is to demonstrate that they understand their cash flow and they have a strong business in terms of cash flow, they can usually get a better interest rate than someone who has a higher risk in there.
Yeah. Interest rates, especially on the business side, are usually associated with risk, like you just mentioned. And the better you can demonstrate that you are a lower risk to the financial institution, to the credit union, the better chance you have of getting a little bit better rate overall.
Now, in terms of the business owner doing that and demonstrating that, that just doesn't happen. Business owners can't go in and sell a lender that they're a low-risk operation. They have to demonstrate that. And they have to do that with a business plan.
Yeah.
And they have to do that with some work on their part. But as a lender, you see some common mistakes people make throughout their business career, whether they're starting up as a new entrepreneur or they've been in business for 30 years.
Yeah.
But they make common mistakes. Let's talk a little bit about some of the common mistakes people could avoid by listening to you this morning. And if you have a question for Chris, give us a call at 281-1150 here in Appleton at WHBY, 281-1150. If you're outside Appleton, 866-887-1150. So what are some of the common mistakes, Chris, that you see?
Well, probably one of the most common mistakes that I see is entrepreneurs really are good at what they do, mm-hmm. but they don't take a broader view of their business and they don't plan on a broader scope. Now that's a pretty broad statement,
sure.
to be frank, but it's important because you might build the best widget you possibly can. But if you don't take a broader view and understand things like costing and competition and everything else, you're going to have a hard time being successful potentially, or at least you diminish your chances of being successful.
Yeah. So, One thing is to say they work in the business. They're very good at that. Yeah. But they need to work on their business and do the strategic planning.
Yeah, and even though we are in what we call a smaller market here in the Valley, we still have a lot of those same kinds of influences on us that people have to be aware of. You mentioned a couple of them. You said, competition, some of the other things that you can see that they have to be aware of?
Yeah, yeah. Every entrepreneur needs to make sure that they understand pretty much the entirety of their operations. Competition, we'll just use that as a good example. If you develop I call it tunnel vision, essentially. Mm-hmm. If you develop a tunnel vision and say, hey, I build the best widget, people are going to buy my widget because it's the best widget. Well, maybe not. That's the hard part. And I get a lot of people that come in and say, hey, nobody does anything like this. Mm-hmm. And almost always I say, well, what about this? Well, that's not really like this.
Uh-huh.
Well, the consumer thinks it's kind of like this, so maybe it's not. You might be right, but you got to find a way to let the consumer know that it's not like that. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have competition and a lot of entrepreneurs just say, no, there isn't a lot of competition here. Nobody's doing this way.
That's a good example of the entrepreneur needing to go find out what the market is looking for, not just what they think the market needs.
Yes.
That's the tunnel vision you're talking about.
That's a bit of the tunnel vision, yeah. Yeah. If the market has a funny way of determining what it wants and what it needs, independent of the small business owner. So they really need to understand that and build their plan around that.
Yeah, the two biggest failings I see is, you are not your client. Stop thinking that way. Your client has a different attitude probably than you do. And number two, of course, as you said, is just because you build it doesn't mean they will come. You have to have a highway to it. There have to be signs.
Yes. So a lot of times big signs.
Yeah.
Some of the dimensions that entrepreneurs need to think about when they're starting a business is not that they're just really the best landscaper or baker and they make the best beignet or whatever, but then that baker now needs to think about rent, a lease. They need to think about LLC things, licenses, employees. They need to understand FICA and all the taxes, the withholdings.
Yep.
There are all kinds of dimensions there.
Yeah, and you touch on a topic that's probably one of the next biggest issues that entrepreneurs have to be successful is they don't truly understand the costs associated with what they're doing, and they don't plan accordingly, and i.e. they don't bid out their deals or their projects or whatever they're working on accordingly, and they struggle because they don't understand it. They don't understand why they're not profitable, and it's usually a lot of those hidden, hey, there's this little FICA fee, there's this little something, there's that little something.
All those little surprises,
or the cost of raw material starts to move on them, and they hadn't had that planned in and stuff like that. So it becomes you really have to plan a lot in order to make sure that you understand the costs associated.
So when someone comes to you with an idea and so on, these are some of the things that you spend the time with them to point out.
Yeah. So we will do a full review of their plan, take a look at all of their costing, their projections, and then basically start poking holes to see if we can poke holes. And at the end of the process, if we haven't poked enough holes, it gets a loan. If we have, we send them back, and they start working on trying to fill those holes.
But it's not personal. You're not doing it.
Nope.
It's to get the person to the right spot.
Well, and to get back to I grew up in an entrepreneurial family, so the last thing I want to see is anybody not succeed.
Right.
And I will not, as a lender, give anybody money that I don't think is going to succeed, or at least I don't think has a very good chance of succeeding, just simply out of
for their own good.
Really?
Sometimes people want something and they don't realize the risk they're taking by wanting that.
Exactly. I'd rather hurt somebody's feelings now than have them spend 3 years beating their head against a wall.
Well, we're not going to do that today. We're not going to beat any heads against the wall, but that's good advice, Chris. And we're going to take our first break right now. We'll come back after the break. On the other side, we're talking with Chris Allen, who is the Vice President of Business Services at Fox Communities Credit Union. And you're listening to BizTalk on WHBY, Real Local Radio.
This is Bruce Lammers, President of Ridgestone Bank. When it comes to business lending, we don't have boxes. I'm here with Christy Schwan from Stellaris Employee Benefits. We help Christy with a business buyout in a unique area of lending, the service industry.
I did talk with other banks that had some significant limitations on how they might be able to help me. I didn't have any hard assets on which they could base their valuation. banking. Ridgestone Bank's financing decisions were not based on hard assets. Instead, what I had was cash flow. So they were able to, again, look at things in a very unique way and in a way that allowed me to purchase companies in what was typically a complex situation, and they made it very, very simple for me. Because of their flexibility, because of the range of options that they provided for me, I don't think I'd be sitting where I am today if I hadn't worked with Ridgestone Bank.
Ridgestone Bank, listening to your story and finding a way to make it work. Whatever your it is. On the web at Ridgestone.com. That's Ridgestone.com. Member FDIC.
Need help taming your business's financial beast? Albertson Hailing CPAs can simplify your financial situation and guide you from payroll to tax planning and more. Let's crack the whip on your business's finances, helping you feel more comfortable. Visit AlbertsHailing.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Welcome back to Biz Talk this morning. We're speaking with Chris Allen, Vice President of Business Services at Fox Communities Credit Union, and we're talking about business lending and how entrepreneurs can prepare when they go talk to a lender to get a loan for their business. We're going to continue our conversation with Chris in a moment, but first we'd just like to tell you a little bit about our SCORE chapter. It's Fox City SCORE chapter, one of about 350 around the country. We have an 8-county area that we service from Appleton to Oshkosh to Fond du Lac, and we have about 55 mentor volunteers in our chapter who provide free confidential mentoring to entrepreneurs, those who are starting up or those who are in business. And you can learn more about our services at foxcities.score.org. If you'd like to request a free mentoring session, you can fill out the mentoring request form on our website, foxcities.score.org. Hit the send button, and probably within 24 to 48 hours, a SCORE mentor will be contacting you to schedule your first appointment. And those appointments can go on and on. It's for the life of your business. So if you're having issues with IT or HR or cash flow, banking, accounting, legal, product flow, workflow, innovations, anything, marketing, check us out at foxcities.score.org, because we have those volunteers who are willing to help you solve those problems and take advantage of those opportunities that you have on your table right now. So with that, we're going to get back to Chris Allen. And, Chris, let's pick up a little bit at the end of the last segment. We talked about our costs and how business owners often underestimate or ignore, don't look at all the costs. But if we get all the costs laid out for a business, there are fixed costs and there are variable costs. And I think the successful entrepreneur needs to understand the impact, what those are and what those impacts are on their cash flow, on their operation. Help us understand, what's the difference between a fixed and a variable cost?
Well, very, very basically, the fixed cost is a cost that obviously it doesn't change. And no matter what you do from a service or sales standpoint, and the variable cost, conversely, does change. For each unit that you do or for each each service that you provide, there's a specific cost to that activity, so it'll go up and down. So your costing structure has to take into account that you've got that floor of a fixed cost.
Right.
Say your fixed costs equate to $10 per unit.
Right.
But then your variable cost, it costs you $2 for this and $3 for that.
Right.
and two more dollars for that. Your cost to break even are $15, mm-hmm. essentially, mm-hmm. for that. Now, a lot of entrepreneurs, I have actually seen entrepreneurs that say, well, great, I'll sell it for $15. There's a little piece that's missing there, and that's food on your table profit.
What are some examples of a fixed cost and examples of a variable cost?
Well, let's take from a manufacturing standpoint, facilities generally are a good example of a fixed cost. You have a building that you rent for $1,000 a month.
Or you have a loan payment.
Or you've got a loan payment that you have to make, an exact amount each and every month.
Yep.
And that is a fixed cost. That's not going to change whether you do zero sales or whether you do a billion in sales.
Even utilities is a fixed cost.
Even utilities, for the most part.
Even though the number can be different in cold and hot weather.
Yep.
The cost is the same. It's going to be there. the dollar amount's not the same.
Yep.
But the cost is going to be there every month.
Yeah, and I don't want to make it too complicated, but sometimes utilities are both fixed and variable.
I know.
Let's stay easy. But you're right. Yeah. The thing is there are a lot of costs that sometimes are hidden that you don't plan into building into your costing mechanism.
Well, what's a sample of example of a variable cost?
Well, if you take a manufacturing example, the material. That's a very good if you need a piece of iron to build your widget, that piece of iron needs to be costed into your labor, exactly. It takes 3 hours to build your widget, then that needs to be baked in there as well. And the labor is broken down into multiple components, which is both their salary, their benefits, et cetera, et cetera.
And that was the one thing I was going to say, too, for the individual just starting out. Be sure that you understand as a fixed cost is the salary that, quote, you're going to pay yourself.
Yep.
Make sure you're aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't build it in, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I will evaluate your request I take a look at what your obligations are personally, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I build that in to make sure that there is enough money to go around so that at the end of the day, we call it a global cash flow, essentially, where I'm looking at not only the business but the personal, and you got to hit a certain mark or else I'm going to have a hard time.
What do you say to the person who says, well, I don't plan on taking anything out of the business for the first couple of years anyway because I know, you know, it's just not, you know, it's going to take me time to build it up. What do you tell them at that point?
Generally, I tell them what I just said about the global cash flow. I'm going to build it in, and if there's not enough global cash flow there, at some point you're going to struggle. Now, obviously, there are certain situations where you make some exceptions if they've got $1 million sitting in the bank that is liquid.
They can bridge them.
They can bridge, and then maybe we've got something to talk about. But absent that, we start to have a conversation about global.
Your point is so valid because when people want to start a new business, he might quit his job. She keeps her job. He was making $70,000 in his job. Family needs $60,000 to live on. She's making $40,000.
Yeah.
So that puts pressure on the business right away for him to take money out of there. That has to be looked at.
Absolutely.
Are they ready to do that?
Not only that, but think about insurance. That's a big thing.
Huge.
Yep.
We're at the end of our second segment already. We're going to take our second break, and we'll come back on the other side, continue our conversation with Chris Allen, Vice President of Business Services at Fox Communities Credit Union. And you're listening to BizTalk on WHBY, Real Local Radio.
I'm on my way out. I'm booked that day. I'll be washing my hair that night?
No matter what excuse you use, your business's finances won't fix themselves. Albertson Hailing CPAs can take the frustration out of your bookkeeping, taxes, and more. We'll help you understand and manage your situation. Visit albertshailing.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Your legal business concerns are important to me. Legal Business Edge delivers value by working as a partner with you, our client, to help you understand your legal options. Focusing just on business law, we take the time to get to know your business and develop a legal strategy that will help you reach your business goals. Whether it involves intellectual property, contracts, negotiating for your rights, buying or selling a business, or organizing your business structure, Legal Business Edge gives you the creative legal options you need.
Sarah DeBruin provided our company solutions that saved us time and money, as the quality of her guidance and diligence provided creative solutions unparalleled by other attorneys.
Know your options. Call Legal Business Edge at 920-851-7761 or visit legalbusinessedge.com.
Welcome back to BizTalk. You're listening to a great show, Chris Allen, this morning from Fox Communities Credit Union, and we're talking about how entrepreneurs can really prepare themselves for a good loan, especially at Fox Communities Credit Union. In the first segment, we told you a little bit about our SCORE chapter and what we do as free confidential mentoring. In addition to the mentoring we offer, we do a number of seminars and other training things during the year. So, Randy, what's coming up? We've got some things coming up in the calendar here.
Right. We have a number of programs coming up. I've got three that I want to talk about right off the bat. The first one is a panel discussion that's going to be going on. It's a partnership that we have with the Village of Hortonville, with the Fox West Chamber and SCORE. It's coming up on April the 12th. It's going to be in the morning from 7:30 in the morning until 9:30. The program is going to have a panel of experts to talk about how to take your business to the next step. Now, that panel is going to include Kevin Eisman from Epiphany Law. We're going to have Amy Peach from the Fox Valley Tech. We're going to have a person there from Coalesce, which will help in marketing programs.
Piece of tequila.
Right. And then Lance Schmidt from the Wolf River Community Bank is going to be there. And also we're going to have a SCORE representative there, Bob Molitor, who is the incoming chapter chair for SCORE, talking about these things. As I said, the program is a combination with the Hortonville, Village of Hortonville, and it's going to be held at the Hortonville Community Room. The program is free, but you do need to register for it. So to go out to our website, foxcities.score.org, or you can go to the Fox Hortonville Village site and register with them directly also.
Or so Fox West Chamber.
Fox West Chamber also has the information on it. So get out there. Make sure you register. There's a couple of openings yet. We hope that everybody can get to that one because, again, it'll follow up with some of the things we're talking about today on how to handle your planning for your business. The next program we're going to be doing is coming up on April the 25th. And it's an area that everybody's interested in. It's called email and social media. That is probably the most popular subjects going right now other than finding money. So this one here is going to be scheduled again April the 25th. It's an afternoon program. It starts at 4 p.m. It's going to be held at the Appleton Public Library, downtown Appleton. And again, it's going to be a free program. It's going to be going over all of the details as far as how to use your email, how to properly set up social media, and how to actually use it to make money. So, again, that's April 25th, 4 p.m. at the Appleton Public Library. Grow your business with email and social media. And again, register online at foxcities.score.org. And then finally, as far as programs, we have what business structure is best for you? That program is going to be in May on the 4th. It's going to be in the afternoon, and it's going to be at the SCORE office at the Fox Cities Chamber. So it's going to be at 3:30 in the afternoon, SCORE office, and the title is What Business Structure is Best for You? Should
like
I be
LLC,
sole prop, LLC, S-Corp, C-Corp, and all of the different things that matter. We're going to have an attorney, Sarah DeBruin from Legal Business Edge, and we're also going to have an accountant, Kurt Haling from Alberts and Haling, to give you the details that you need to know on that one. So again, that one is going to be at the Fox Cities Chamber office, where Fox Cities SCORE in the lower area, and it'll be at 3:30 in the afternoon on May the 4th. So again,
cost for that?
I'm looking. I do not believe so. I have to double check. I don't have the note on that one. It will be noted on there as far as on the website, foxcities.score.org. So go out and take a quick look at that one there. I believe it's free. So. And then the last thing I want to mention to everybody, of course, is the big program we have coming up in May. It's scheduled for May 3rd, and we are going to be celebrating Small Business Week. We're going to be holding the program out at the Bridgewood Convention Center, and it's going to be a evening program, reception, hors d'oeuvres, presentations to small businesses that have succeeded in the area. It's going to be we're going to have all four of the chambers involved as partners in this program to recognize small businesses here in the valley. So we'll have people recognizing them from the downtown, from the Appleton Chamber, from Fox West, from the Heart of the Valley Chamber, and also the Oshkosh Chamber. So we'll have people attending that one. Again, that program is free. It's going to be a party, and we really would like to have you come and join us. Again, it'll be up online on foxcities.score.org with all the details. So please, we're expecting a few hundred people to join us at that one and really recognize the outstanding things that the chambers do and also that our small businesses in the valley do.
A lot of things going on, and SCORE is right in the middle of all of it. Again, check us out at foxcities.score.org. and stay tuned to that website because there's always something going on, but we don't want you to miss a thing.
Right. I just didn't. One other thing is there's always webinars on there for you, too, if you want specific subjects, and those change almost daily. So
good. Okay. We'll continue our conversation with Chris Allen, the Vice President of Business Services at Fox Communities. Chris, we've had a good first half of the show. Tell us how folks can reach you. How do they find you?
Yeah, the easiest way is to they can give us a call at 920-993-9000. Again, 920-993-9000. Or visit us on our webpage, which is www.foxcu.org. So foxcu.org. There is a business tab that they can click on and very, very easily can find people to contact.
And you mentioned in the first segment there are like 19 offices, and your mortgage lenders as well as your business lenders are all tuned into business lending services.
Correct, yeah. Obviously, the mortgage lenders a little bit less so than the commercial lenders, of course. But they know exactly where to go to get answers for people. So you can very quickly kind of get to the right person by visiting any one of our branches and starting asking
that
questions.
That would be great. Now, if you have a question for Chris, give us a call at 281-1150 here in Appleton, 281-1150. If you're outside Appleton, 866-887-1150. Chris, we were talking about the common mistakes that entrepreneurs tend to make. We talked about thinking about the company globally, and we talked about maybe having tunnel vision and not really understanding what the competition is doing and understanding what the market expects from your company for you and your service. But let's talk about leverage.
Sure.
First of all, what is the definition of leverage for those who may not understand what that is?
It's essentially the amount of debt that you have
relative to your assets.
Yes. Essentially.
So how much debt or how much leverage do you have against those assets?
Exactly.
So if you have $100,000 of assets and you have a $50,000 debt load, you get a
2-to-1.
Essentially,
2-to-1.
Got it. Yep. So people understand leverage as being debt, but it's not just debt to the lending institution. It could be debt to vendors. It could be debt to other creditors, taxing authorities, real estate taxes, stuff like that.
Yes.
But let's just talk about the lending institution. How should debts be structured, and what's a comfortable ratio?
Sure.
Leverage ratio?
It depends a little bit on the industry that you're in in terms of what that is. For example, if you're a real estate investor, which is an entrepreneurial endeavor and a small business, we treat it very much like that. Your leverage is measured a little bit different. We take a look at loan to value against the properties, and then debt service coverage, which is the amount of free cash flow at the end of the day to cover your debt payment. And usually what we require is $1.20 or better for every dollar of debt that you have to pay after you've paid everything that you have, including taxes. And
so if someone has $10,000 of annual debt service, they should have $12,000 available to make those payments.
Exactly.
That's a good illustration.
And that would be net income plus non-cash expenses like
cash
depreciation.
Yep.
It's cash flow. Net cash flow.
And it's, you pointed out, and I want to emphasize, the importance of looking at leverage and cash flow coverage together.
Yes.
It's not good to look at one or the other. They're always matched up.
Correct. You could have a very good leverage ratio but not have a good debt service coverage ratio. And if you can't service your debt, you can't things start to happen.
Yes.
Bad things.
Yeah.
So that's more for the real estate. If you've got an operating company, again, it's somewhat industry specific, but a good target to hit is a debt-to-worth ratio of 4-to-1. So if you've got $100,000 worth of debt, we'd like to see a net worth in your company of about $25,000. Now, keep in mind that we're going to not include things like the we call them intangibles, but some people might have the goodwill. Some people might have their companies valued at $100,000, but that's just the vapor, we call it.
And the other little thing that entrepreneurs should understand is this book value of assets. So if you've got equipment you're depreciating off the balance sheet, you're using the book value. Real estate would be depreciated. So there might be some opportunity to use appraised values to get that back up again.
Yeah, we get appraisals, especially on real estate. It's almost a given. So if you're thinking of getting into real estate, there's a few of fees associated with it. One of them is you almost always need an appraisal in order to borrow against that
property. Now, debt comes in two shades or colors. One is long-term debt. Yep. One is short-term working capital debt.
Yep.
In terms of balancing that out, what is working capital debt used for?
Working capital debt should be used for essentially helping the small business get their product or service out the door is probably a good way to look at it. For short-term assets. So, again, getting back to our manufacturing thing, they need to buy the material in order to build their widget. They'll usually use some short-term working capital line of credit for that. They sell it on an accounts receivable, usually get paid in 10 to 30 days. Once you get that money back, it should go right against the line of credit to pay that down, and then that cycle continues. You use
short-term debt to short-term assets?
Exactly.
Long-term debt to long-term assets.
Yeah, one of the things we see, one of the traps that we see a lot of entrepreneurs getting into is using a short-term debt, like a long-term debt, a line of credit where it's not revolving. It's not like a river. It's more like a stagnant pool. Mm-hmm. And there's, say, $20,000-$30,000 that just it never gets below that. We actually keep our eye out for that, and we call it evergreen because it's always there. It's always in place. And we actually start to have discussions with our entrepreneurs about terming that out so they can actually get rid of that debt. Now, you know, sometimes you've got a business that the cycle is just so fast that it looks like it might be evergreen,
right.
But it's really not. It keeps churning.
But
it
you know the
keeps
difference.
Churning, but we know the difference.
You
we
know
can
the difference.
Keep our eye on the difference. And
when you're working with a client like that, how often do you expect them to bring that that short-term debt down?
Well, most of the time, we usually require the line to be rested for a period of time,
that's
whether it be
off,
a
right?
day or 30 days at some point. It depends a little bit on the business. I just mentioned, that one that's really growing and really going, the churn might be so fast that it's just not realistic for that to happen. But for the ones that really should, we do ask them to rest, bring it to zero.
The other obvious question when you start looking at this is, where in your planning for your business should you take this into account? Do you like it when there's a surprise 6 months down the road, or should this have been something they were thinking about?
Well, hopefully there are no surprises, and generally that's planned. And the best way to do that is to do a month-to-month cash flow analysis for at least the next 12, possibly
projection.
To the next 18.
Projection
for the next 12 to 18 months so that you understand what your cash needs are given what you're projecting your growth is.
And the accounting systems, QuickBooks, Sage, those are the two big popular ones people use. They do those. You can get those right out of those systems.
Yeah.
Using historical information.
Yep.
You can use that as a basis to generate projections. If you're a startup, you might have to populate 12 months because you don't have the history.
Yep.
But it's a great exercise to go through. Let's go back and talk about debt. I wanted to spend a little time on term debt. We talked about the working capital short term,
yep.
The long term. Long term assets like real estate, equipment, permanent working capital. You take out, you need working capital that you're not going to pay back in 1 year. It might take 3, 4, 5 years. Yep. That would be a term loan. But one of the advantages of term debt is the amortization. What would you recommend? How long can you go on a piece of equipment or a piece of real estate versus what the cash flow can support?
Yep. So on a piece of real estate, let's just take those in order. A piece of real estate, you can typically get out to about 25 years. 20 is a very good number to shoot for the most part, because if your plan works at 20 years, that's great. You should set it up and kind of go from that way. But we could elongate it out to 25 to help somebody make sure that they have the cash flow necessary to make the debt payments.
How does that help?
So by stretching out the payment to that extra 5 years, you're reducing the required minimum payment each and every month. Now, that does not mean whatsoever that you have to make that required minimum payment, at least at Fox. You can make payments as much or as little anytime that you want, and that'll help you retire the debt sooner.
Yes.
But let's say you have an expense that you hadn't planned on. You got to put a new roof on. You got to do a water heater.
Surprises happen.
A little surprise, and that's the nature of business. You can lower your monthly payment down to the required monthly payment because you took a little bit longer amortization. So we recommend that quite a bit. Now, sometimes, depending on the asset class, if it's an older property or something, we may not want to go out that far just out of principle.
Which is, to your point, Chris, the amortization of a loan is based on the useful life of the asset.
Exactly.
A piece of equipment might last 7 years.
Yes.
You can't go 15 years on that piece of equipment because it's only going to live for 7 years.
No, and the thing I tell people is, do you want to be paying for that stapler or whatever it is? Mm-hmm. Do you want to be paying for that after you've thrown it out?
Right.
That's just a recipe for digging a hole.
So a person who's going into business or is in business could think strategically about debt by structuring the debts on the balance sheet for the long term.
Yes.
And keep the debt amortizations as long as the lender will allow you to, but make prepayments if you have extra.
Yep.
Now, here's a question for you. People ask me all the time, well, if I make prepayments on my debt, shouldn't I have some cash set aside? How much cash should I have set aside before I start making prepayments on my debt? Maybe we need to answer that after the break.
Okay.
I just looked at the clock. But let's hold that question. We'll come back on the other side. You're listening to BizTalk on WHBY, Real Local Radio.
Subtract line 6 from 13. Put in box 5 on form 1040 EZ. Easy? Really?
Taxes can be daunting, especially when it comes to your business. From asset protection to payroll and more, we can help reduce the stress of your business's financial situation. Visit AlbertsHaling.com. Alberts and Haling. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts and Haling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Fox Communities Credit Union.
You've been looking for a new house.
Hey, this one's nice.
You're searching online and touring open houses.
Ooh, I like this one.
It's time to get pre-approved. And nobody makes it faster or easier than Fox. Get free pre-approval for your loan right now. Come into one of 17 Fox locations or get pre-approved online. You can also check your loan rate online. How easy is that? Just visit foxcu.org.
Okay, that was really easy.
Once you find the home of your dreams, don't let the stress of the home loan get in your way. Talk to the mortgage lending experts at Fox Communities Credit Union. And you can get a home loan with as little as 3% down payment. Just 3% down on your loan.
Fox made it happen.
You can find the home of your dreams. Fox, helping you make life happen. Equal housing opportunity lender.
Fox Communities.
And welcome back to our final segment this morning. We're speaking with Chris Allen, Vice President of Business Services at Fox Communities Credit Union. And before we get back to Chris, we just want to tell you one more thing about Fox Communities, but we'd like to tell you about our Fox City Score chapter. We want to extend our appreciation to the sponsors who help us bring this program to you each weekend. And those include Fox Communities Credit Union. So thanks, Chris, for all your support at Fox.
Our pleasure.
And all the folks over there. We want to thank Alberts and Haling CPAs, Legal Business Edge, Sarah DeBruin. We want to thank Byline Bank, formerly known as Ridgestone Bank. They're a great sponsor as well. Tundraland, Brian Gottlieb at Tundraland and his team. We also want to thank Candeo Creative, Zach Pawlowski and his crew at Oshkosh, who built our website, biztalkwithscore.com. If you've missed the program today or you would like to re-listen to it, we have archived our shows at biztalkwithscore.com probably the last 5 years. So visit us at biztalkwithscore.com to hear historical programs of BizTalk. Finally, we want to thank Larry Desch and Jerry Mader at the Business News. They help to promote our program in their biweekly periodical called the Business News. If you're in business or thinking of going into business and not subscribed to the Business News for $20 a year, you really should be. It will provide you with a lot of helpful information of what's going on in East Central Wisconsin business community. And maybe if you do some advertising in that magazine, that little newspaper, it'll get you some more sales, the Business News. So thanks, Jerry and Larry. Chris, before we took the break, we were talking a little bit about debt structure, and I asked you the question, how much cash should be saved up for the business owner before they start seriously prepaying the loans? What would your advice be on that?
like a lot of things in commercial lending and economics, it depends.
It does.
Yes. It depends quite a bit on for the most part, what the entrepreneur's comfort level is with their business, just their personal preferences, stuff like that. At a minimum, they should look to cover their fixed expenses for a period of time that makes them comfortable, whether 3, 6, 9, 12 months even. You want to make sure that you have enough cash on hand to weather storms that are inevitably going to come.
Like a drought in sales.
Like sales decline. Like a drought in sales. There's going to be something potentially at some point that's going to knock sales off considerably to a point where you have to, and you're going to want to be able to carry your employees because you don't know how long it goes. You want to be able to comfortably make it through those normal dips that are going to occur.
One of the best measures of comfortable is how well do you sleep at night.
Yeah.
So if it's keeping you up at night because you don't have enough cash in your reserve account, try putting more cash away and save up for those total fixed costs every month, like you said.
Yeah, and that's if we want to go back to the last segment with common mistakes, not having enough of a cash reserve. And the reason why a lot of entrepreneurs don't is they feel like they want to deploy those funds to make them more money, i.e. they're going to take the $30,000 that they were saving as a cash reserve, lever that up into another investment property or into another machine or something like that. They get a little overextended. That drought comes, and next thing you know, you've got a problem making ends meet. And it becomes very difficult as a lender to help expand into a difficult situation like that.
And I think a derivative or an extension of a common mistake is when that drought happens, the business owner should come to the lender right away.
Yeah.
And explain what's going on.
Exactly.
Because the lender might be able to do something at that point, not 6 months later.
And that's where it comes when the issue becomes a problem. That's where it becomes more difficult. The hands of lenders get tied a lot quicker.
Yeah. Okay. So no surprises. Lenders don't like surprises except Christmas gifts at Christmas time. And then even that's got
to those have to be very limited.
That's
got to
be limited.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You don't even get them.
I don't even know.
No,
I
don't even go there.
You can't have it. Yeah. But no surprises.
Yep.
And build that relationship with your lender, and you're going to be much better off.
Sure.
Well, how can we get a hold of you again?
Sure. You can contact us by calling our main number at 920-993-9000 or visit us at www.foxcu.org.
Well, Chris, we're getting down to the end of the show. We've got about a minute to go.
Okay.
And we always ask for your biz tip. What would you tell the people listening out there to want to go into business?
The people that wanted to go into business, my best tip is to plan a little more, and then plan some more after that. The main reason is you can model your business in a business plan. You can bring financial experts in to help you out. And if you fail in your business plan, you can rejigger it and you can redo it, and you don't incur
any substantial costs. Who would you recommend to help with that business plan?
I would, there's some good people around. I would think SCORE would be great. I would definitely recommend contacting Tony at SCORE and some of your other professionals that help you out, accountants, attorneys.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, Chris. Thanks for being our guest this morning. It was a good show.
My pleasure.
Very informative. And I hope folks can go back and listen to the program at biztalkwithscore.com. You've been listening to BizTalk on WHBY, Real Local Radio. We'll be right back.